This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In a world where information is at hand more than any other time in history, we still tend to operate as though we know it all. In this message entitled Staying Teachable, Pastor Aaron discusses three very practical ways to remaining teachable, as well as describing why it is so vital to do so. This message was delivered on August 27th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Well, good morning, everybody. And like John said, if you're visiting us for the first time, we want to welcome you here. And if you have been here for a while, we still want to welcome you here this morning. And thank you for joining us here at New Hope East Hawaii. You know, one of the things that we get to do, and Pastor Scott's going to be talking about that during our membership time, one of the things we get to do is help you in this journey. Not just this journey of life, but the journey all the way into eternity. We want to be a part of what God is doing in your life, and we get to be. If that weren't true, then we would just be a social gathering every Sunday. But we so much more than that. We get to be a part of the journey that God has you on, and we want to help you with that. Speaking of journeys, of course, as anyone who's chosen to take this journey that we're on, as anyone who does that knows, it always seems that the closer we get to God, the tougher it gets. Amen? And can I be very adamant when I say this? I'm going to say that that is how it's supposed to be. That's how it should be. You see, when we begin to choose to start doing the things that would make us effective in the kingdom of God, this world will challenge us. When we start to live lives, or our lives, in such a way that brings glory to the Lord of all creation, this world will not idly stand by. It'll throw every lie, every distraction, every stumbling block it can to keep us from that glory. And I won't lie to you. It is so much easier to give in to those things, whatever they might be in our lives. But here's a higher truth. That higher truth is that the eternal glory comes to those who faces the challenges and perseveres. Jesus said it like this. He said, "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." The whole truth is that God loves us way too much to allow us to settle for second best. I remember one of my mentors, one of the guys who I learned a lot from. I was struggling with some things once, and I actually wanted to quit the ministry. And he came up to me and he said, "What's wrong?" And I started to just lay out everything that I was going through, and I pretty much told him, "You know what? I don't like this journey that I'm on. I'm tired of it. I'm ready to quit." And you know what he told me? He said, "The reason why you're going through this is because God loves you too much to leave you the way you are." You know who that guy was? Sitting right in the front row. You see, God desires that we choose to live a life that he can bless, a life that is holy or set apart, different from the rest of the world. Not so that we'd be separated from everybody else, not so that we would act like we're holier than thou, but that we be outstanding reflections of Jesus Christ, reflections that would draw others unto him. But that can only happen. That kind of lifestyle only happens when we choose to overcome the challenges and allow God, through the trials, to change us from glory to glory. Over the past 2 weeks, Pastor Scott, in the heart of this back-to-school season, Pastor Scott's been teaching us about discipline. And I don't know about you, but last week I walked over out of here bleeding, man. Today I'm going to be sharing pretty much along the same lines, staying in the classroom of learning to be effective in this walk with Christ. And I'm going to be discussing a simple way to accomplish that effectiveness. It's actually a value It's called staying teachable. You see, God created us with this capability to learn. He handcrafted this super complex organ, and then he placed it inside of our heads. It's called the brain. And there's nothing on earth that can rival it when it comes to receiving, storing, processing, and spitting out information. Nothing. In fact, that technological device that we have come to know as the computer was actually designed around the human brain. And as advanced as they have become in the past few years, even the best Mac cannot begin to compare to the human brain. Not even close. So turn to the person next to you and say, "You better than a Mac." Now, if they turn back and looked at you and said, "What is a Mac?" Then just smile and say, "You're older than one too." God created our brains to be exponentially superior to the best computers that money can buy. And here's the thing. We got to use them. We got to use them. He expects us to use it. It's true that some of us learn faster than others. Some can take in more information than others. Some can be more creative with that information. But we all have the capacity to learn if we choose to. You know, it reminds me of this conference that Pastor Dennis, Pastor Scott, and myself attended quite a few years back. Went to this conference, and like any other Foursquare conference, they had the normal sessions, the group sessions, and then they would break off into breakouts. But this one particular conference, they had fun breakouts, or one fun breakout. And the one that we chose to go to was the brain assessment breakout. And we thought that would be cool. So we all went to that, and they did all kinds of things, assessing your brain, motor skills, hand-eye coordination, memory tests, and all those kind of things, even eye tests. And then, of course, the IQ part. So they told us, come back after the conference is over. They're going to have a list posted, and they were actually going to give us a monetary value of our personal brains. Well, we thought that was real cool. We couldn't wait till the session was over. We got out there, and then we saw the list posted on the wall. Three of us walk up to the wall, and first thing we see, Scott Shiroma, brain worth $1 million. And then there's an explanation after that, and it said, well read up, well coordinated, and then an asterisk on the side that said, slightly damaged. slightly damaged due to alcohol consumption in the past. But $1 million. Well, we thought that was pretty good. We went down the list. Dennis Taketa, brain worth $2 million. His one, well-cultured, well-educated. Again, asterisk, slightly damaged because of stress. And then I went down the list, and I looked, and I saw mine. Aaron Pacheco, $10 million. And yeah, first thing I did, I turned around at the two guys, and I'm gloating, smiling. My brain went more than yours. And then I noticed that they were laughing, and I didn't know why. So I turned around, and on that note section, I saw it, why they were laughing. Asterisk, hardly used. You remember the conference. We all have the capacity to learn. We do. If we choose to. And God expects us to. That's how he designed us. That's why babies are like sponges towards information. They touch everything. They put everything in their mouths. Why they're so inquisitive about every little thing. Because God created us that way. But there comes a time in our life. A time when the learning process starts to slow down. For some of us, it actually stops. There's a book written by a man named Robert Fulghum, and it's entitled, All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. I love that book. cute book. Talks about things like the golden rule, washing your hands, cleaning up your own mess. But I would pray that nobody here would accept that title as doctrine in their lives. But it can be very true that all we really know, we learned a long time ago, because we've stopped making a choice to be teachable. Teachability is very much like a river that flows into a pond. And as long as that river keeps flowing and water keeps renewing itself, the pond remains useful. Useful for swimming, fishing, drinking, useful for life to happen. However, what would happen if the pond says, okay, I'm full, and it stops the river from flowing in? You know what would happen? That water would stagnate, and it would be useful for nothing after that. Such is what happens in our lives when we choose to be unteachable. We stop the flow of what God is trying to put into us to keep us fresh and life-filled, and in effect, it renders us useless. God desires that we remain teachable. That's how he created us to be. And you know why he wants us to remain teachable? Because he's not done with us yet. And because he's not done with us yet, he continues to place teachers into our lives. Actually, two teachers. There are only two great teachers that God gives us. And they are, first one, wisdom. First great teacher, wisdom. The book of Proverbs starts off like this. It says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. See, wisdom is an awesome teacher. Wisdom says this. It says, I've been there, I've done that. I know the answer, and here it is, if you'll accept it. That's what wisdom does. It tries to set us up for success by giving us the answer. And to be very blunt, this is the teacher that we want in our lives. So where does wisdom come from? Well, because he loves us and wants us to succeed, God will send wisdom into our lives from all directions. He'll send wisdom into our lives from other people, from mentors. He'll send wisdom into our lives through the reading materials that we read. He sends wisdom into our life through the Holy Spirit, who is the best mentor of all, because he wrote the book of life. And let me share something I learned with you, something from a simple email that I got maybe 10 years ago. And it's called Cell Phone versus Bible. It goes like this. I wonder what would happen if we treated our Bible like we treat our cell phones. What if we carried it around in our purses or pockets? What if we flipped through it several times a day? What if we turned back to go get it if we forgot it? What if we used it to receive messages from the text? What if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? What if we gave it to kids as gifts? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it in case of emergency? This is something to make you go, where's my Bible? Oh, and one more thing. Unlike our cell phone, we don't have to worry about our Bible being disconnected because Jesus already paid the bill. And the best part? No drop calls. Let me encourage you. Always have the Word with you. In fact, I now carry it on my phone. Got these great Bible apps that are on there. I carry them on my phone. I kill two birds with one phone. Show you why I do that. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture is God-breathed. And that means that it is written by the Holy Spirit. Men might have penned it, but it was the Holy Spirit speaking through them that put the words on the page. And he is willing to give us that wisdom at no cost if we are willing to sit with him and allow the Holy Spirit to mentor us through it. You see, when you sit with the Word of God, somewhere along the lines of studying the wisdom, we'll stop studying the wisdom and wisdom will start studying us. It goes from being written in here to being written in here. And then from there, it begins to change us from the inside out. That's how important daily devotions are. If you're tired of hearing that, I hope you're doing it. That's why we're always talking about that, encouraging everybody to get into their Word and start doing daily devotions. That's how important our time in the Word is, so that we might be taught the wisdom from the greatest mentor of all. Now, the other great teacher, number two, is consequence. Consequence. And consequence is this. Consequence is, I'll give you the answer, yeah. But I'll give you the lesson first. Consequence removes the mentor from the picture and lets us learn on our own. Whereas wisdom would say, don't run into the wall. I done that, and it hurts. Consequence would say, go for it. Get out of the way. Let us run into the wall, smash our face, so that we would learn on our own. Now, God allows us to learn through consequence, okay? But if God loves us so much, then why would he do that? Why would he allow us to learn through consequence? It's very, very simple. I'll tell you why. Because we aren't always willing to learn from wisdom. That's why. And God desires that we would learn, that we'd be learners. That's how he created us to be. And sometimes, that's the only way that we will learn. The only way that he can fashion us into everything that he's meant us to be. Look at what it says in the book of Romans. It says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You know what this tells me? It tells me that as long as I love God, as long as he still has a purpose in my life, he will allow things to occur that will bring about that purpose. And that includes life lessons. And the same goes for you, if you're willing. So the question then becomes, by which great teacher shall we learn? Wisdom or consequence? How many of you want to learn by consequence? Very good. I was hoping nobody would raise their hand. We would all rather learn from wisdom, yeah? So let me give you the three keys, the ABC, so to speak, of not just remaining teachable, but of being teachable through wisdom. And A is accept the fact that you don't know it all. Accept the fact that you don't know it all. You know, Carlin and I always challenge when we see the notes that Pastor Scott puts out. We sit there and we try to guess what he's going to say. Did anybody actually guess this one? John's a know-it-all. you good, brother. I thought nobody would get that one. Accept the fact that you don't know it all. How many of you love to hang around with a know-it-all? Nobody. Nobody in their right mind wants to hang around with somebody who thinks they know everything about everything, because they are stubborn, they are irritating, they are arrogant, and you can't teach them anything. You notice that I'm not looking at Carlin right now. Once we think that we know it all learning stops. It's like that stagnant pond. Things really begin to stink in our lives. There's this missionary that we have in Mexico, Foursquare. His name is Pastor John Mazariagos. Anybody know him? Oh, if you know him, you love this guy. If you don't know him, let me just explain to you a little bit about him. Pastor John is one of the higher-ups in the Foursquare organization. He's held many positions on the board and the council and very, very high-up positions. But when you first meet him for the first time, you might not even think he's Christian, let alone when pastor and a missionary and a higher-up, because this bugger is koloy. My first time that I met him, he stayed at my dad's house, and him and my dad, they stayed up to like 1 o'clock in the morning just laughing and having a good time. But Pastor John is one of the best, most wisest, most loving, incredible, down-to-earth people that I know. And if you ever meet him, you fall in love with him. I love what Pastor John says about what he tells his kids when they think they know it all. Listen to this now. Really simple, but very, very profound. He says, you don't know what you don't know. Don't know what you don't know. I love that. When I first heard that, that made so much sense to me. I was telling everybody that. Wait for every opportunity for somebody to think they know it all. And I say, you don't know what you don't know. Tell my kids that all the time, CJ and AJ, over the past few years. You don't know what you don't know. But you know who I should be saying that to way more often? I need to be saying that to the guy in the mirror. You see, for example, one time I told this joke, and you might have heard this one before. I told this joke about the rules in my house. My house, only two rules. Really simple. Rule number one, daddy is always right. Rule number two, if daddy is ever wrong, refer back to rule number one. You know, although I'm joking about that, there are many times that I can that it can be absolutely true that I think I know everything, and that I think I'm always right. You know what happens to me when I get to that point? Consequence happens. And more often than not, very bad consequence. That's why I need to do that more often, to look in the mirror and say, Aaron, you don't know what you don't know. To remind myself that I don't know it all, and that I can learn from my wife and my kids and anything else and anybody else that God puts in my life. You see, thinking that we know it all has nothing to do with fact or truth, because we don't know it all. Thinking we know it all has everything to do with pride. The pride that wants to say, I know more than you. Therefore, that makes me better than you. Let me tell you something about pride. Pride is an excellent invoker of consequence. If you desire to learn by consequence rather than wisdom, then by all means, take on the attitude of pride that says, I know it all. Proverbs 8:13 states, if anyone respects and fears God, he will hate evil. For wisdom hates pride, arrogance, corruption, and deceit of every kind. Wisdom hates pride. And God despises the heart that thinks it knows it all. You know why? First off, because it's not true. And second, because it stops all learning. Now, there's a surefire remedy to this when it comes to, and it comes in understanding who does know it all. Look at Psalm 147, verse 5. NIV version, it's written like this. It says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. I also put in the Message version. I love this one too, where it breaks it down even more. It says, our Lord is great with limitless strength. We'll never comprehend what he knows and does. I love it when it says that. We will never know, we will never comprehend what he knows and does. You know who wrote that? A man named David, King David. And it's an awesome statement from a man who was dubbed a man after God's own heart, a man who understood God well. So do me a favor right now. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You don't know it all." Okay, now turn back to them again and say, "It's okay, because neither do I." We don't know it all, folks. And it's okay. God is okay with that. And we have to be too. You know, I have been through the Bible over a dozen times. Completely through the Bible over a dozen times in my life. And the more I understand, the more I understand how little I understand. The more I understand, the more I understand how much more God has to teach me. And he hasn't stopped teaching me. Every time I do devotions, even after 12 times through the Bible, he still has things to show me, new stuff to show me. But that only happens when I come to him with a teachable heart. Matthew 11 tells us, and Jesus prayed this prayer. He said, "O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding the truth from those who think themselves so wise and for revealing it to little children." You ever wonder why he speaks to the lives of our little kids so much? It's because they know that they don't know it all. They come before God with a humble heart, knowing it's okay not to know it all. And I'll encourage you to do the same. And when we do, he'll open his wisdom to us. Which brings us to B. And B is bring your eyes, ears, and heart to the classroom. Bring your eyes, ears, and heart to the classroom. Matthew 13, Jesus says, "He who has ears, let him hear." I'm going to stop right there, because I want to ask you this question. How many of you have ears? The ones who never raise their hand, not using them right now. We all have ears, so this applies to everybody, right? Continuing in verse 10, it says, "The disciples came to him and asked, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?' And he replied, 'The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah: 'You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and I would heal them.'" You guys always hear me say this one. I always say we have two eyes, two ears, and only one mouth. That means more looking, more listening, less talking. But that doesn't always happen in our lives, does it? I realize that with all my heart that I do have a hearing impediment. It's not that I cannot hear. It's that plenty of times I don't listen. I actually wrote that into the message. And it's not really an auditory condition at all. It's really a condition of the heart that I'm choosing not to receive wisdom, what wisdom would speak. And this is exactly what Jesus is referring to in this passage. And he's hoping that we would approach wisdom with a willingness to receive. I know that every pastor and counselor in this church will testify to this one. They'll testify to how many counseling sessions we have sat in on with people who really don't want to hear the truth. They just want their side of the story heard. They want to find somebody who's going to agree with what they're thinking. And you know what we do? We cry with them. We sit down and we listen as hard as we can. We open up our hearts to God to hear for them. And we hear what God is saying to them, and then we tell them that. We tell them exactly. Pour out every bit of wisdom that God is giving to us, knowing beyond all doubt that that's exactly what he would be saying to them. Only to be sitting in the very same place with the very same person with the very same problem the following week. Let me say this, and listen to this. We have to stop playing games with God. We got to stop playing games with God. He wants to teach us every good thing that he possibly can. He wants to shower upon us every bit of wisdom that we are willing to accept. But we need to approach him with eyes that are open, ears that are listening, and a heart that is ready to receive. Amen? And then C, commit to submit. Commit to submit, which means make the decision to be teachable by whomever or whatever God uses to mentor you by. And then make the best of whatever that is. A pastor once told me this story about a young intern in his Bible college, and he actually sent the intern to this island, to a conference. This one is a true story, okay? He sent him to a conference on this island to learn some things, especially about public speaking. Intern came back a week later, and the first thing the pastor did was ask him, "So, how was the conference?" And the intern responded, "Well, half was good. Excellent speakers, learned plenty from them. But half was really, really bad. Didn't learn anything." And the pastor said, "What? What do you mean?" He said, "Again, half the speakers were good, but the other half, they put us to sleep. Total waste of time." And the pastor just shook his head and said, No, you cannot do that. You cannot be like that." He said, "Half of the speakers were good. You learned a lot from them. The other half were even better, and you should have learned even more from them." And the intern was taken aback, and he said, What do you mean?" He said, "You should have been taking twice the amount of notes on those guys. You should have been writing down, 'Man, this guy is boring. He's put half the class to sleep in 3 minutes. He is incredible.' Do not do that." And write down every single thing that you would not do that he does. You see, in every experience, we can learn if we're willing to submit to what God gives us. So often, we'll hear people say something like, "I want to learn, but there just aren't any good teachers around. These guys can't teach me anything." Take a look at those guys' track records, and you'll find a long list of mentors that they would not submit to. Of course, they're not going to learn anything. God calls us to be faithful with the little, and then he'll make us faithful with much. Such is true when it comes to learning. If we aren't willing to learn from the simple, then how will he ever be able to teach us with the complicated? It's not going to happen. And truthfully, it starts off right where we're at. Proverbs 1, verse 8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. See, it all starts off with the most basic of mentors, right where you at. And when we're willing to submit to the mentorship that God gives us, that He places right before us, as we're willing to learn, both from the good and from their bad qualities, He's faithful to bring more and more and more opportunities. God created us with the ability to learn, and He expects that we do so until the day that He calls us into eternity. The truth is that because of that design, we will learn. The choice is ours on how: wisdom or consequence. And as we think about that, I want us to look at one more scripture. And this one comes from Jesus Himself. Matthew 11:29, where He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." So let me give you the answer to the final blank on your outline. And this is what it all comes down to. The reason why God would so esteem that we have a teachable heart. It's because church really begins when we leave this place, when we walk out the doors. It begins in our lifestyle that reflects and draws others unto Him. So would you write this down? That I can only teach what I know. I can only teach what I know. I'm going to call up the worship team and ask Pastor Scott to come up as well.
What do you think, Pastor Aaron?
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.